Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wallbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Jerry Schmiel, visiting pastor here at St. Jerome on February 28th, 2021, the second Sunday of Lent. Now here is Father Jerry.
Well, after hearing the scripture readings this morning, would you please join me in taking a look at the gorilla in the room? God put Abraham to the test. First line, the book of Genesis, we read. God put Abraham to the test. Take your son, take him up on the mountain, and kill him. See you, God. I'm done. What's going on? What kind of God is this? That he would ask people to sacrifice their children? This is something that we struggle with, probably trying to figure out God and how God is and how God wants us to be and so forth. And when we get things like this, it kind of boggles our minds. But I got just a little bit of an insight I'd like to share with you this morning that might add a little clarification to it. As we read that particular first reading, God put Abraham to the test. The word God, if we go back to the original Hebrew in which that particular book was written, the word that is used there for God is Elohim, which is plural. If we had translated it literally, we should have said gods, the gods put Abraham to the test. Now, the reason why they did that is because this was Abraham's milieu. He was just part of one of these many tribes that were floating around Palestine trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life and what God is and all this. And they all had these gods and goddesses, all kinds of them. There were multiple gods that were all over the place. Abraham was one of those. His tribe was one of those groups that had these gods. So when he hears what the gods say, he says, boy, if the gods want me to, I better do it because I don't want to tick them off. I don't want them to get so upset with me. They're going to throw down thunderbolts and zap me. They're going to take away my whole family. They're going to take away my sheep or burn up my crops. I better appease this God, these gods. So certainly when Abraham is faced with it, he's doing this basically out of fear. Out of fear. He doesn't want these gods to get him. So when he gets to the mountaintop, though, if you notice, the word changes. The Lord's messenger came. And the Lord is the same word that was revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus at the burning bush. A word so sacred that even today, the very, very faithful, pious Jews do not even say the word. They're reading it in the scripture. They will come and then said this. And then they won't even say the word. We translated what it means, I am who am. But out of respect for our Jewish brothers and sisters in the faith, we say to them, we will not use that word indiscriminately either. We will follow your devotion, your respect for that sacred name. We will not say it. So here Abraham moves from gods to the one God that became the watch-all, the be-all for the Jewish people. Again, this is one of those remarkable things that we find in the scriptures. And again, when we see the people reacting to them as Abraham did, we know that this is a different kind of God. He doesn't want children sacrificed. He doesn't want those to be the end all of your faith. Certainly, again, it kind of reminds me of a story I heard a number of years ago about a county in North Carolina that was really, really struggling because they were bone dry for days, weeks, months on end. Finally, their pastor said to them, come to church this coming weekend and we're going to pray for rain. So people came to church, and the first thing he said, How many of you brought umbrellas? Nobody. He said, go home. You don't have faith. Again, it's not that drastic a thing here. It's just a progression, how Abraham moves from the gods to the one God. And that certainly is part of what we recognize the season of Lent is all about, because the season of Lent ideally or originally was supposed to be the time of preparation for those who were going to become Christians. Back in the year 325, so we're going back 1700 and some years, there was a council of the church, the Council of Nicaea, and they came up with this particular construct called Lent, 40 days. But it was only supposed to be for the catechumens. They were the ones who were supposed to fast and self-deny and have all sorts of prayer and all sorts of self-giving of themselves. There's always a question, was that supposed to be for everybody or just for them? Well, kind of developed, became something for all of us that we all embrace. But ideally, it's focused on those people who are becoming part of the church, because they're moving, catechumens, those who have not been baptized, they're moving from a sense of the gods, whoever they may be, to the one God. And that becomes part of our process. We pray for them. We support them. We have them come before us periodically during the season of Lent, where we pray for them that they remain faithful, that they do not give in, that they have a sense that this is what God is calling to do, so that we can really rejoice and celebrate with them at Easter, when they are baptized or when they make a profession of faith and become part of the Catholic Church. You know, this is revolutionary. When I first got ordained a priest 51 years ago, you know, our whole sense was, somebody you want to become Catholic? Well, let's meet every Wednesday for the next 6 weeks, and I'll tell you what the faith is all about. And then when we're done, you want to be baptized? Yeah, well, when are you free? How about Tuesday evening at 7? Go on over to church, we'll baptize you, and then the next Sunday when you come to Mass, you'll make your first communion. And then when the bishop has confirmation once a year at the cathedral for all adults who have not been confirmed, we'll have you go there. That's totally different, because we want to recognize the progression of people growing in the faith, coming to an awareness of how God is reaching out and inviting them and calling them, be part of the church, be part of this parish, be part of this family of faith right here in Wallbridge, Ohio. And that's got to be life-giving for us. We look around and we see new life, new people, new ideas, new faith being expressed, lived before us, and it gives us a sense of joy. And certainly, again, when we reach the whole conclusion of Lent, we have this sense of joy as well. We've lived, we've died, but we've risen to new life with Jesus on Easter Sunday. And that becomes something that enlivens us and gives us hope and gives us a sense of who God is that we follow. Not a God who punishes, who kills children or wants us to kill them, but a God who loves us. And as we heard St. Paul say in the second reading, Jesus took on human flesh and became one of us and gave his life for us, willingly gave his life for us. And again, as Paul began that second reading, if God is for us, who can be against us? How true that is. And then we see that again in the gospel today, the feast, the transfiguration. It's kind of a little bit of an anomaly here. We think, well, why are we having this feast in the season of Lent? Well, there's an old tradition that says when Jesus was transfigured, it was 50 days before Easter Sunday. Whether it was or not, nobody knows, but they just had this devotion that kind of sprang up, and it kind of lasted, so that we do hear this particular gospel all through the three cycles that we have during Lent. But again, what it says is a movement. Peter, James, and John, you know, these guys are wandering around with Jesus. What is he asking of us? What are we going to do? And Jesus says, I got to boost these guys up. I got to give them a sense of what's waiting for them. And so Jesus is transfigured. His clothes are dazzlingly white. There's Moses and Elijah there, the law and the prophets, the fulfillment of the God, the I am who am, who formed them and made them one, made them his family of faith. And so when they look up and they see they're gone, Jesus says, "Now, take your time talking about this. You're not ready for it yet." And we heard that at the end of the gospel reading. They didn't know what Jesus meant. What do you mean he's going to rise from the dead? I mean, they hadn't reached that point yet, but they were making a step toward it. They were moving toward it, accepting who Jesus was and what he was going to do for them and what he does for us. So again, this particular season is focused on those people who are coming to be part of us, be part of our faith, be part of our parish, be part of our church. And we have to have a sense of welcome, a sense of embracing them and recognizing God called them as he called each of us and ask us to be of support for them as they make their journey. So, dear friends, we grow constantly, and we never stop. We always continue to grow. That's why we have Lent every year, for those who are willing to grow, to become part of this church, that we too are willing to take on a focus in our lives. Where is God in my life today? How can I turn away from the things of this world for at least 40 days and maybe embrace God in a deeper way than I have before? And how can I have a sense that God loves me too? That God wants to be with me, that God sent his son for me too. And to embrace that in its totality. Hopefully, again, Lent isn't just, "Oh, when are we going to get over with this? I got to get back to drinking and smoking and eating and everything." If that's it, goodbye. We've lost you. We've lost you. But if it's time to, you know, when Easter comes around, I am going to rejoice in what God has done for me in Jesus Christ the Lord. Who could ask for anything better?
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m. Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.